Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text before us today is from Mark chapter 11. As we consider these words, I ask you please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Some people, when you start talking about heaven, kind of wonder if it's going to be a little bit boring. Now, boring is a word that we don't allow in our home. Usually if you say the word, I'm bored, that usually means you're going to get jobs of some kind to do. But as people listen to talk about heaven, they think about it in terms of, well, let's see, it's a bunch of people standing around singing praises. I guess that's about it. That sounds rather boring, right? That's all we're going to do for eternity, worship, praise, singing, that's it. Sadly, these are some of the same ideas that keep people from praising God on earth. It doesn't take much of an excuse for a weak soul to stay away from God's house. I mean, all a faltering soul needs to hear is that church is boring and of all the reason to stay away. All a fearful sinner needs to know is that there are a bunch of bland, self-righteous people sitting in those pews, and the finger comes out pointing to hypocrites. And that's not a place where I want to be. Or there are those who think that the Bible is so hard to understand, boy, it's a whole lot easier to hit the remote power button on my 80-inch OLED TV. I'll just stay home. Thank you very much. But today is Palm Sunday, and it is one of those great days of worship and praise the whole year. There's just something fun about a procession and singing praises and waving palm branches and singing hymns and joining together, all knowing that Jesus is about to do something extraordinary. And I'm not talking about riding a donkey into Jerusalem. Anybody could do that. But it's our Savior Jesus who rides not just to throngs of people praising, but rides on to die, as we sang in the hymn. It's a day in which we not only see praising in God's word, we do it ourselves, and not just here in church. Because as we'll see today, praising God is more than just sitting in the pews and singing on Sunday mornings. Praise of God goes out into our whole lives, as this is a day of how to when it comes to raising our hands of praise. Now, if you ask the average person to describe, the average churchgoer to describe worship and praise, most people would say, okay, sitting, standing, singing in church. But as we say, the reality is that worshiping and praising God happens mostly outside of the church building. And I'm not just talking about our summer outdoor worship. I'm talking like out there in the world. And we see it right here on the streets of Jerusalem. All the Palm Sunday praise of Jesus Christ took place outside of God's house. I mean, some of the greatest praise of Jesus took place on that triumphal march, but not necessarily in the way you might think. The first way that Jesus was praised was by the disciples. Think about it. Jesus basically told them to go and steal a car. No, I don't know. That's probably putting it not quite the same way. But go into Jerusalem and a donkey, which is an expensive mode of transportation. Not everybody owned one. Go in and you'll see one tied there and just take it. They praise Jesus by not going, I don't think I'm going to steal a donkey. No, they trusted him. They obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Jesus gave them the reassurance that it would be okay. And in fact, when they went to get the donkey, it all happened just as Jesus said. Somebody would say, hey, wait a second, what are you doing? And they too praised Jesus when the disciples said, Jesus needs it. And they're like, oh, yeah, please, go ahead. You see the praise that's there. That isn't singing. That isn't opening the hymnal. That is praising God by obeying what he said. I think sometimes we have a little bit of a hard time with that word obedience or obey. I know that it has a good connotation among us. I like to think that because as Lutherans we are so concentrating on salvation by grace through faith, that that idea of obedience seems so law-oriented. That instead of something, that it's something that is demanded rather than something that is offered. There's a big difference there. Obedience, our obedience to God and his commands, don't come out of threat for us. Because we are saved, we want to say thank you to God. And so because of all that he has done for us, we gratefully say, Lord, how can I live my life? This is what we call the third use of the law. How can I live my life out of gratitude for all that you have done for me in Christ? And God says, hold to my teachings. Guard and keep them. Live them. Let your light shine. And we do, by grace, through faith, from grateful hearts. And that was happening that day. We say, Jesus, your will be done. And then we turn around and are part of carrying out Jesus' will. Look at those disciples. I mean, that was pretty unusual. They had to have had some questions. How do you know the donkey will be there? How can we take it without asking? Are we really going to be able to get away with this? Just said, okay, Lord, you asked it of me, and I will do it, trusting in your promises. That's praise. But it's the kind of praise that a lot of people out there don't understand. It's a different way of living life. God's word speaks, the church proclaims it, and people question, what right do you have to tell me what to do in my life? People question how God can send troubles into our lives and still at the same time claim to love us. They accuse the Bible of patriarchy when we talk about this beautiful relationship between husband and wife as God describes his relationship between Christ and the church. People question why they can't just live together in whatever form of relationship that they want. They question why they can't swear or curse or use God's name as a punchline. Yeah, there's a lot of questions out there when it comes to what God expects. But when we look at God's commands, as we look at his guidance in our lives, we recognize that it is God giving us what we need to live our lives of faith, and we respond from grateful hearts of thanksgiving, knowing that we live lives of gratitude for his forgiveness. That when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we will in just a few moments, your will be done, that we recognize that God's will is being done in our lives, but that we have the joy, the privilege of being part of carrying out his will in our lives. And that was just the first form of praise on that first Palm Sunday. There's another one, and this one is probably a little bit more sensitive. In fact, I don't know if I'd ever really considered this before on Palm Sunday, but praising God with our things, with our money, with our wallets, with our possessions. I mean, we practice good stewardship. That's what God calls on us to do. Everything belongs to him, and he gives it to us to take care of, to be stewards, to put to use in his kingdom. But look what happened on that first Palm Sunday. One person gave up their donkey for Jesus. The disciples and many others threw down their cloaks, their expensive cloaks, on the ground so that Jesus and the donkey could walk on them. Still others went around and cut down branches from the trees and laid them out along the road. They put time and effort and work and things, and they laid them before the Lord in a very real sense, but also in a very beautiful spiritual way. They laid them all before the Lord in a way that gave praise to him. All of that was part of what was going on that day, that people were praising with their very things. I know for us that it can be pretty challenging at times. We have that old sinful nature that is stingy and wants to keep what is ours, and I worked hard for it, and this is mine, and I'm not going to easily give it up, and this better be worth my time, and I've heard it too, I'm just practicing good stewardship by not being generous. That's not how they put it, but that's essentially what it was. You know, I'm very careful with how I give my money, how I give of my time. And God just calls on us to be generous, to overflow, to give back, not just within these walls, but especially out there in the world, to let our light shine through the way we use our time and our talents to give praise to Jesus in everything that we do, so that when we are out there giving of ourselves, that it's Jesus that people see. You see the people on the critics that day? Mark doesn't record it, but the other gospel writers do, that Jesus' enemies were in the crowd that day too. And they were not happy. They didn't want people shouting praises. And they couch it in terms of, you know, they didn't want to riot, or they don't want to give the wrong impression, and really they were just jealous of Jesus, and that the crowds were hailing him, recognizing him as the Messiah, and they wanted them to be quiet. But Jesus was clear. When our hearts are compelled by his sacrifice, his forgiveness, his love, our hearts respond with praise. Shouts of praise with the way we live our lives, giving back to the Lord. We think about what's out there. How can we do any less than the people did that day? As souls are dying and as missions struggle, as opportunities present themselves to support the proclamation of the gospel, pennies of praise can do so much to help support what's going on, to offer praise to Jesus. And of course, finally, the kind of praise on that first Palm Sunday was the actual mouths of praise, right? Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." We see the praise of obedience. We see the praise of things and money. And now we see the praise of mouths. That will be there too. And it is enthusiastic, and it is loud, and it is grateful, and it is joyful, and it is so raucous that it can't be denied by anyone. And as we talked about this last Wednesday, those raucous praises at Jesus' forgiveness, for his sacrifice, for his love, are way beyond just singing in church. Every time that spontaneous praise comes from us, sincere praise shows itself from our hearts and in our lives and out of our mouths, it is out there in the world as we praise his name. It's why we don't want anything we do to somehow pull away from Jesus, because there are people who will immediately seize on that. That's why we set aside the cursing and the swearing. It's why we are honest in our dealings. It's why we want to have good reputations, not because we're trying to look good, but because as Christians, we want to make Jesus look good. We want to make sure that what we do points clearly to him as we offer him our praise with the way we live our lives. These are our shouts of Hosanna. By confessing our faith, by reaching out to the weak and sinful, by praying for those in need, by singing hymns around the family table. These are our glad songs that we sing. In service to the Lord and others through the spiritual work of the church, through volunteering out there in outside of these walls. It's how we shout, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what Jesus longs for. That's what he wants. In fact, it's what he hears as he rides on to carry out his work on that first Palm Sunday, and as he continues to work in the hearts and lives of his believers so that the world can hear. He said that he came that we can have life, and this is what it is about, living life abundantly here in joyful anticipation of living the life that he came to bring us to in the hereafter. And there's nothing boring about that, a life of praise. There were only two groups of people that gathered that day as Jesus entered Jerusalem, those who praised him and those who hated him. Throughout the rest of this week, as we join together for worship on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, we're going to see how these two groups of people are diametrically opposed, but more importantly, through it all, we will see Jesus carrying out the mission that he came to do, to give his life for yours and mine, to make sure that you and I have life, not just now, but forever. And so we cry out with the crowds, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right on, King Jesus, let no man hinder you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, enter our hearts as King. Let us praise you. Let our hands praise you with our unquestioning obedience. Let our hands praise you with our money, knowing all the money in the world will not be able to repay the blood you shed for us. And let us praise you with our mouths every day, in every way, inside and outside this building. Then one day soon, we will praise you in heaven, where our praises will be forever. Amen.